Welcome, welcome to the show. Holy cow. Another week. Boy, this past week has been a long couple of months, eh? How about that? I have an awesome guest here for the show. And I think, you know, this is a great time to talk about the things we're going to talk about. And so this is the founder of the award-winning Recombobulation Area, a favorite returning guest, Civics Media's own political editor, all-around good guy, my friend and yours, Dan Schaefer. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, Mark? What a week.
What a week it's been these last couple months.
Oh,
however
my
that
goodness.
Saying goes. But, yeah, dude, oh, my God.
Feels like a brief lifetime since a week ago, since your last show. My goodness.
Yeah, it's been fun. The reason that I wanted to talk to you really was about a tweet that you put out, and it's and I want to.
Oh no, you're digging up old tweets. This is gonna you're gonna get me in trouble here. Is that what's going on? You're bringing me on the Rational Revolution to cancel me. Is that the deal, Mark?
Correct.
No, I'm just
buckle up,
just
baby.
Messing around.
So, but I do want to get into that hot and heavy because that I think that is a huge topic. But I want to talk about what's your impression of this first week? How's that been going? The old Trump administration.
Yeah, Donald Trump sworn in on Monday. He's the 47th president in the United States. It's right out of the gate. It's not great. It's not great, Mark.
No.
I think, you know, there was obviously a flurry of activity on Monday, you know, continuing throughout the week. But, you know, a lot of really troubling stuff and a lot of, you know, I can't say a lot of it's all that surprising, though, because it's just so much of the stuff that Trump ran on throughout his presidency about mass deportation, you know, gearing up for mass deportations and pardoning the January 6th insurrectionists and taking all sorts of action on, you know, energy and the environment and the economy and immigration and all these different things. You know, I did a video earlier this week at Civic Media about birthright citizenship and, you know, just his attacks on the Constitution and the 14th Amendment there. You know, it's been pretty discombobulating, I must say.
Right. And, you know, I was thinking about this is all of the stuff that we talked about and feared and you know, all the reasons why we didn't support him in the first place. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, well, maybe he won't. But then when he does something like, you know, rules on gender and reducing the size of the federal workforce and birthright citizenship and all that, it's like, ah, crap. You know, and then you feel that gut punch again and again and again. You know, it's very discombobulating. And I don't know how do you come back from that, you know?
Well, there's obviously always going to be an opportunity to recombobulate, Mark. But we are in a moment that is it feels pretty bleak for those of us who don't agree with Donald Trump, don't agree with the types of things that he wants to do as president. And yeah, I think what you're talking about too, because like throughout the campaign, he just says so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like Trump just, you know, he would give these 2-hour rambling campaign speeches. He would go on these 3-hour bro podcasts and just like talk about whatever, and you don't know exactly what he's going to, you know, prioritize and all of that, but you know he's hitting the gas on a number of things. You know, immigration, obviously, you know, I think he even said it in an interview this week that it was his number one top campaign issue,
right?
Was immigration. And you know, that has been, you know, certainly in focus for the first few days of his presidency. And I think, you know, the birthright citizenship one, you know, I talked to an immigration attorney who's a friend of mine on that. And he said, this is the big one. You know, this is the one that would really rewrite what it means to be an American. If you're, you know, saying that if you're not born in this country, that you're not a citizen of this country, that's really deeply troubling. And I think just fundamentally anti-American.
Yeah.
It's saying that people who are not born here do not have a chance to, you know, realize the American dream. And I think it is really, you know, just signals this kind of break this was one of the things I was that I did tweet about earlier this week. It's just like the last night of Biden's presidency, I tweeted something about, you know, this really does feel like the end of something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a break from what the past has been. And I think, and you know, the past hasn't worked a lot, you know, these for a lot of people for a really long time. And I think that's part of the, you know, kind of anti-establishment rhetoric that Trump was able to lean into and kind of force Democrats into this position of defending an establishment that didn't work for people. But I do also feel like, you know, we are in uncharted waters. We are in a new era. The old world is gone in a lot of ways.
Well, I mean, that almost certainly is going to be swatted down swiftly by, you know, a Supreme Court. And I mean, you would think, cause I mean, that's pretty clear cut in the Constitution. I mean, you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, but you know, congressional Republicans, I think, Wisconsin Republican Tom Tiffany among them, trying to take action to, I think they kind of characterized it as codifying the president's action on the 14th Amendment on birthright citizenship. And, you know, the interpretations of that, you know, could go to a court where many of the justices were appointed by Donald Trump and reinterpret the meaning of that amendment. And it's pretty worrying.
Well, what sucks, and people have asked, you know, how is someone so stupid able to get so many things done? I think like what happens is you have this tornado of word salad, and he says so many things and does so many things, and there's so many, every day there's something that's more offensive than the day before and all of that. And here we are forgetting the fact that, hey, you know, we're also, you know, very close to having a guy that doesn't believe in vaccines to be the head of our health departments, you know, and like that's now as insulting and as an affront it is. We're not now. That's old news. You know what I mean? So it's like, right. That's how he's able to. That's how he governs with all of this chaos.
It's kind of that Steve Bannon quote about flooding the zone with blank, right? You know, and I think that certainly is the strategy, because if you put so much out there, there's only so much, you know, attention and I guess outrage, for lack of a better word, that can kind of go around on some of this stuff, and it just makes it so that instead of being able to focus on any one thing, it's just this wall of sound.
And
you just have to try your best to, you know, make sense of it or focus on a certain issue or whatever it might be. But it's just like the everything everywhere all at once.
Exactly how I've described it too, is that Phil Spector wall of sound, you know, and that's exactly what he is. It's crazy. And there was something yesterday that, the federal government has asked agencies to give lists of new employees and everyone that's been employed for under a year, because then those people are easier to fire. My brother, who has been on the show a number of times, is in that ballpark. He's part of that. And so it's 200,000 people. Yes.
Yeah.
With that, I mean, is that going to happen? Are they going to lay people off? Because if they've been in that role for under a year, that's their probationary period. It's easier to terminate them. So like, I mean, 200,000 people, that would be like a 2008 financial crisis level layoff. That's huge.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so, you know, And like, what's next? What's coming tomorrow, next week? What next month? What do we?
I mean, we've still got a number of these confirmation hearings that we're going to take a look at. You know, some of them are going to sail through pretty easily. Yeah, I think Marco Rubio was like a 99-0 vote in the Senate for confirming him
That's
for Secretary
cool
of State. But I think, you know, I think Sean Duffy is going to make it through pretty easily for his piece of it. There's your Wisconsin connection to the Trump cabinet there. Uh-huh. But I think, you know, with Hegseth, with RFK, with Tulsi Gabbard, I think those are kind of going to be the trickier ones. And then I think we're gonna see some action. You know, obviously immigration is going to be kind of the main thing, right? And how this takes shape with, you know, deportations, with ICE raids, there's lots of rumors. You know, I live in Milwaukee. There's lots of rumors about that kind of thing right now. There were some false ones that got shot down earlier this week. But you know, there's a lot of heightened tension around all of that. And I think it's... you know, we'll just have to take things one day at a time.
Well,
I think that's all we can really do.
Yeah, and I think this is a good segue into the big discussion. But, you know, we talk about what Trump does and all this and how he manufactures the issue of, oh, we're being invaded and all of this stuff, and doesn't really tell the fact that on January 19th, border crossings were lower than what it was during the Trump administration. And so he's got to manufacture this issue of, okay, we're going to, you know, cook up a crisis that's not necessarily there. Now, Joe Biden and the Biden administration, they did not do a good job those first 3 years. But the last year, they really did a good job on the border.
I think it was so, but the kind of ping-ponging around to different policies, I just feel like the big picture of the Biden administration's policy on immigration was just kind of incoherent.
Yes.
Like they came in and said, okay, we're going to, you know, repeal all these ridiculous Trump administration executive orders. We're going to bring, you know, we're going to, you know, bring together the families who were separated. We're going to take action on this and that. We're going to repeal the Remain in Mexico. And then they kind of, you know, obviously a lot of people, they had a lot of trouble with the border there. It was just kind of all over the place.
When that crisis really ramped up, they were slow to act.
They were slow to act. And I think they also, and I think this is a problem for Democrats more broadly, is just they never articulated a coherent, I don't want to say narrative, but like policy or idea of like what they really wanted to do on immigration. And I think in the absence of really getting out there and saying we're doing things, you know, it kind of left Republicans to fill that space. And they really won on that issue in a really big way in the 2024 election. And I think part of it was because Democrats, instead of wanting to have the argument and put forth a policy, articulate really where they stand on the issue, I think they just wanted to change the subject. And I think that can be a problem for Democrats a lot of the time, where they are, you know, only feel comfortable talking about the issues that poll in their favor, right? Whether it's, you know, reproductive rights or healthcare or some of these bread and butter Democratic issues that they have, you know, focused on for a long time, and not without reason. But like, if immigration is emerging as the top issue in the campaign, like all they really did was kind of like put forth these, oh, we're the ones that really are trying to get it done, kind of like these Republican light types of policies on the border. And I just think the voters just didn't buy it. And I think that was a problem.
We're going to recombobulate on the other end of the break here with our friend Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media. I'm Mark Becker. We'll be right back.